The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Post Malone has just moved up. His stock has risen on my market. There's a story in here out of New Orleans involving the Super Bowl and all the stars that were there in New Orleans for the Super Bowl.
Of course he was there and gallivanting around and being famous.
Post Malone apparently stopped by a bar called the Howlin' Wolf, which is in downtown New Orleans, just outside of the French Quarter. And his server was a young lady by the name of Heather Foster. He left her a $2,000 tip.
So it was a $25 bill.
It was.
He signed the receipt.
Was it only a $25 bill?
It was. $25.70-something, I believe, and dropped a $2,000 tip on it. But there's a hang-up.
Yeah, I'm seeing that now, Sam. It says here, but according to a Facebook post from Foster, when she went to cash out the generous tip, payment processing company Square would only let her keep $200 because, according to the employee, Square claimed the tip was too high. Foster shared a photo of the receipt with the $2,000 tip from Posty, which caught the eye of members of the New Orleans City Council and investigative reporter Cassie Sherm from WDSU. Sherm emailed Square to ask them what was up. The company responded that they were looking into the issue.
Now, that's just kind of a CYA situation from Square's part. You know, they're not trying to stop people from getting massive tips. What they are trying to do is stopping the users, whether that be a waitress or a company selling something,
from adding a zero or
from
something.
Adding a fraudulent tip that they did not intend to give. Because then it falls on Square, because that person's going to say, well, how could you allow them to put in a $2,000 tip? I only wanted to tip $2.
Got it. Travis Kelce is opening up about the retirement rumors or decision that he has to make.
Yeah, we have audio.
Good. Travis Kelce, age 35, discussed the wear and tear that his body has endured throughout his glittering 12-year NFL career and acknowledged that retirement is a possibility.
That is not the audio that we have. I thought that you were going to be talking about a different portion of audio, but...
Well, hang on, and I'll let you set it up. I don't know what audio you have.
Keep going.
He addressed this with his brother Jason on their New Heights podcast. Quoting here, I know everybody wants to know whether I am playing next year, and right now I am just kicking everything down the road. I am kicking every can I can down the road. I am not making any crazy decisions, but right now the biggest thing is just being there for my teammates and being there for my coaches, understanding there's a lot that goes into this thing. I've been fortunate over the past 5-6 years. I've played more football than anybody. The fact that we keep going to these AFC championships and Super Bowls, that means I'm playing in... Oh, hang on. That means I'm playing an extra three games more than everybody else in the entire league. That is a lot of wear and tear on your body.
Well, and he's reaching the maximum age of a tight end. He's nearing that retirement age. And the one thing that I pulled audio from was the conversation that he had. And obviously it was a somber tone on the New Heights podcast yesterday, because they're talking about the fact that the Chiefs just got walloped in the Super Bowl. Travis Kelce is facing the potential of retirement. Jason, being a former Eagle, is having to talk to him about the fact that his former team just whooped on him. And Travis at one point got choked up.
Just wasn't our day. Couldn't find a lick of momentum. I'm kicking myself for some of the tiny, tiny decisions I made on the field. I wasn't the best leader that I could be in motivating my guys and keeping my guys, you know, calm, cool, collected. And I put a lot of that on myself as, you know, the guy that's been in the building for 12 years and seen a lot of football and actually seeing a situation just like this in the Super Bowl. It's a tough pill to swallow. It's a hard reality, man. I love my teammates. I love my coaches, Chiefs Kingdom. I'm sorry for how it ended. I have a beautiful life, man. I have loved ones. I have the most amazing family in the world that supports me in everything that I do. And they were all there, you know, cheering me on and hoping for the best on Sunday, man. I wish things would have went different. I wish I would have made better decisions early on and helped my guy Pat out and helped my team, you know, find that momentum or that confidence. But, you know, I just have to tip my hat to the Eagles.
I know this sucks to talk about. I've been here. There wasn't all negative.
So this part right here, I love the love of the Kelce family. You know, Jason is taking that big brother role here. And it's this next 50 seconds that really solidifies why this family has become so popular, both in and out of football.
For the Chiefs, you broke the most catches in Super Bowl history. I know that you don't probably care that much about it right now because of the way the game went. You have so many records at this point that this is like kind of like just another one. But at the end of the day, it's just another thing that cements you as one of the best players ever to play in the NFL. Past Jerry Rice, Gronkowski, Andre Reed.
That's the last thing that I care about right now.
I know, but you will, and it's dope. Just here to tell you, it's a dope record. As are all your other records.
Thanks, brother.
The only record I get is that he like kept going on the field. He's out there again.
Look at him go.
How'd he do? No one knows. Just counts as a game played.
A couple of observations, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
Number one, when he's rattling off all the people that have supported him and came to watch him at the Super Bowl, there was one name mysteriously missing.
Well, you noticed he kind of caught himself for a second. Right before he said loved ones, there was a bit of a pause. I didn't know if he was thinking I'm going to say Taylor Swift or what, but okay. I did kind of catch that as well. But I just love the fact that Jason, you know, took this opportunity to say, you know, it's not the way that you want to feel right now, and I know that feeling. And he made him laugh. I mean, he literally took Travis from tears to laughter in 45 seconds.
Yeah, and I love the older brother component of their podcast. And I love what Jason said. The other thing that I heard, and I heard this in the post-game comments from Patrick Mahomes as well, is that they're apologizing for letting people down. And I don't know why that rubs me the wrong way. First of all, you don't owe anybody an apology. What a ride this season. I mean, I'm speaking purely as a fan. What a ride. It was fun. You know, just the storyline of maybe getting three in a row and, you know, getting to another Super Bowl third in a row. And I just wish these guys would say, you know what, we did the best we could. We tried. We didn't have it. I love what he said at the beginning. You know, we couldn't get any momentum, et cetera, et cetera. But you don't owe us an apology.
And I agree with you. And, you know, I'll fully admit I was flat out mad Sunday evening. You know, we were at a watch party. We were hanging out with some friends and people were cutting up and laughing. And I was just standing there staring at the TV mad. But I had to remind myself through that anger.
It's just
one, it's just a game. And two, 7 years ago, this was the norm. 7 years ago, we never even would have sniffed the Super Bowl. And now we're here. So, yeah, you're right. He has nothing to apologize
for. None of them do. I mean, you know, and I know some people live almost vicariously through their favorite sports franchises. And, you know that I'm a huge sporting fan. I go to all their games out at Sporting Park. And when it dawns on me, and this has been the norm lately, when it dawns on me they're not going to the playoffs because they just lost one too many games that I sat and watched, I drive home with a tinge of disappointment.
Yeah.
But I go out just to enjoy, you know, people who are much better at a sport than I am playing at the highest levels play in front of me.
Well, and, you know, as Coach Reed said and as Patrick Mahomes said, if he wants to come back, they will welcome him with open arms. Now, do you think that there might be something going on with Taylor and Trav? Is that why you're
here? No, I'm not saying that at
admission?
All. I'm not suggesting that at all. First of all, I wouldn't know. Second
you're
of all,
not the insider. You don't
no,
have
I'm
him on
not.
Speed dial.
No, I'm not Page Six of the New York Post. First of all, I wouldn't know. Second of all, it's none of my business.
Yeah.
And third of all, I think it was probably just a little oversight.
I do laugh every once in a while because I did put the sticky note up on the wall in here. When they first started dating, you do remember we made a bet, right?
How long it would last?
Yeah, you and Dana had a bet over under of July 8th of that year. They announced that they were dating late in that season, so it must have been around the Super Bowl run. And you bet $100 on whether or not they would last past July 8th.
Did I take the over or the under?
You owe Dana $100.
Well, let's go ahead and take the sticky note off the wall and put that in the trash. Thank you.
We're recording this conversation.
I am not paying
her
$100.
Oh, going back.
You are high if you think I'm giving her $100.
She's not listening, and I'm not going to remind her.
That's exactly right, Dan.
Text line, Will.
She doesn't read the text line, Dan. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. All right, welcome back. A story here from Channel 5. As egg prices soar nationwide, one local Missouri town has approved an ordinance allowing for more residents to own chickens. On Monday night of this week, city council members in Pleasant Hill, Missouri, passed an ordinance that allows for chickens on residentially zoned properties with a single-family home. It goes into effect on March 31st of this year. Pleasant Hill residents who meet the requirements of the ordinance are allowed to have five or fewer chickens. Hens are allowed, roosters are not.
Those requirements just being you need to have a residential property with a single family home on it, meaning you can't have a duplex or a quadplex or an apartment complex with chickens in the backyard.
All chickens must be kept in the backyard. They are not allowed in the front or side yards.
We don't want to see your chickens.
But, you know, I find this interesting because we had a similar conversation late last week where one of Dana's friends who lives out in the country now but used to live in Leawood mentioned that, you know, she raises chickens. I think they have four hens on the property, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Check that, roosters. And but several people called in and said, if you only have, you know, four or five, or in some cities they allow six, like in Roland Park, if you only have a half dozen chickens, it's actually not worth the cost for the eggs that you're going to get.
Right.
You have to feed, you will spend more in feed than you will save in egg prices.
You need hundreds and hundreds of chickens to even consider turning a profit, which is why we, you know, have massive chicken farms. Now, I read this as Pleasant Hill didn't have any ordinance on the book regarding chickens prior. I don't read this as it was banned and now you can have chickens. I think it was just something that they hadn't even considered at the city hall, and now all of a sudden, as everybody's trying to get chickens because of egg prices, again, that doesn't make sense, but people are doing it, they figured they need to put something on the books for
it. But I think this is becoming, you know, this is anecdotal, I have no way to prove it, this is just becoming a trendy thing for city people to do.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you know what I mean?
I knew people growing up that had chickens in their own backyard. In Brookside. I mean, you can have chickens in the city. It's not a new thing. It was something that was kind of mocked and made fun of around school. It was weird that, oh, that girl, her parents have chickens in the backyard.
So when I did live in Roland Park for 11 years, you would be amazed at what a political grenade.
Firestorm, yeah.
The chickens were, because we did, Roland Park does allow a homeowner have up to six hens in their backyard.
No roosters.
No. But, and there really aren't that many people in Roland Park that have chickens in their backyard. There are some, but not, I mean, it's not like more than half of the population. And every time an election came up, city council candidates would be asked, you know, do you support the city's ordinance that allows chickens in the backyard? There is only one right answer to that for some reason, and that answer is yes. I support people owning chickens in their backyard.
You better not say no.
Because if you said no, you would lose that election.
Yeah.
Bar none.
I don't know why it's such a hot topic. I don't know why it would be banned, though.
It's not banned in Shawnee. We read the ordinance on the air the other day. You're allowed to have, I believe, six hens in your backyard. The yard has to be fenced. And you have to have a coop.
Yeah.
And the little hen house has to be, I believe, 20 feet away from your fence.
And if you're a wannabe homesteader, and I don't mean that demeaning in any way because I hope to one day be a wannabe homesteader. If you're a wannabe homesteader and you want to have six chickens in your backyard and some garden beds with vegetables and grow as much of your own food as you can, I think you most certainly should be allowed to do that. Now, I understand the restrictions. We can't have a CAFO in every single backyard in Roland Park.
What's a CAFO?
It's like the commercial animal feeding operation or something like that. You know, you're driving down I-70, you look off to your left and you see the barn that's 300 feet long with the big old fans out of the back of it.
Yeah.
That is a chicken CAFO. There are thousands of chickens in there. We obviously can't have that in every single backyard in Roland Park, But it's not something that should be banned in any municipality. And I'm surprised if I would be surprised if there are any that ban it outright.
Well, but some would make the argument. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. By the way, let me give the phone number out here real quick. It's 913-586-7798, 586-7798. That some people would argue, I don't want chickens in my neighborhood. They attract coyotes. Coyotes also like to eat small dogs. And they do. From the text line, let me make sure I get this correct because they sent a correction. A friend of mine bought chickens and a coop 20 weeks ago. Total cost so far has been $2,200. He just got two eggs total.
And yeah, they have to have the right conditions to hatch. It's not like a machine where, oh, I got myself a hen, and once it reaches a certain age, it's just going to go ahead and plop an egg out every single day. No, they need enough sun. They need enough food. They need stimulation. I mean, people, you know, think that chickens are dumb, and they are pretty dumb. But if they're not treated the right way, they're not going to give you any eggs.
And by the way, this is also true. And thank you for the reminder, Texter, because Dana's friend mentioned this the other week. Chicken poop stinks.
Yeah.
So if you have a neighbor who puts up a chicken coop in their backyard, oh, that's cute. We've got a little urban farm. Be prepared.
You have to take care of them. It is not a low-maintenance hobby. And we'll call it a hobby because it's not something that you can sustain your life on if you're an egg eater. If you're not an egg eater and it's just, you know, oh, I'm going to take my hobby chicken's eggs and make bread every once in a while, then that's something that you can do. But for a guy like me who eats 2 to 3 dozen a week, that is not something that is sustainable.
Somebody says it is boutique. It is a boutique way to provide farm-fresh eggs, which, by the way, do taste better.
Oh, my gosh. The yolk of it, that dark, rich, yellow yolk tastes far better than the store-bought stuff.
But it is a boutique way to provide farm-fresh eggs. Expensive, yes, but it's something relatively easy that people think they can do. Okay? And hens don't lay eggs in the winter.
And with anything, sorry to cut myself off. From the text line, I live in Pleasant Hill. Chickens were banned. I was one of the, quote, illegal chicken owners there. I currently have 7 chickens. I'm getting 2.5 dozen eggs a week. The average cost is $8 a week to feed them.
Okay.
That's not bad.
So if you're getting 2.5 dozen, you are making money.
Yeah.
But you also have 2 more than you're legally allowed.
Put them up for sale and, well, they do also have stipulations, and I could see in Pleasant Hill that there are a number of properties that are over like a half acre, because typically within those ordinances, and they obviously didn't include that into the KCTV5 story because ordinances tend to be pretty long. There are stipulations further down in some of the bylines that state that if you have an acre or 2 acres, you can have 20 chickens or whatever.
Telephone number here is, not, by the way, if you get rid of 2, get rid of the 2 that are broken. 913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Go to Cindy in Centerview. Cindy, good afternoon. Hello.
Good afternoon, Scott.
Hi.
Hey. Yeah, I was just, whatever you wanted to know, I'm kind of like that. I listened to that lady that is Dana's friend, and we kind of have the same thing. I mean, we've got, between 40 and 50 chickens, and I think we got 14 turkeys right now and 12 ducks.
What do you do with the turkeys and ducks?
Well, they're just all dang pets, actually.
Have you ever eaten one of your pets?
Well, they're just entertainment for the grandkids when they come out, more or less.
Nice.
The turkeys are more docile. They're friendlier, and I do sell turkey eggs, but they only lay, in the spring and in the fall.
What do they taste like?
Oh, they have a little bit richer yolk. They're huge eggs. I mean, I've got people that just love them, and you really can't find them anywhere because that's really not profitable to sell turkey eggs because they only lay eggs a couple times a year, and they're a big bird. They eat a lot.
So, but does it taste like a chicken egg?
Yeah.
But it's...
The yolk's just a little bit more richer than a chicken egg.
Well, I'd rather eat a turkey egg then.
Yeah, well, I sell a dozen of them for $10. which is really cheap because if you ever looked it up, they tell you that to sell them for $3 to $4 an egg.
I'll be darned.
I mean, they're big, but...
Do you have any roosters?
Yeah, we've got three. But we do... We take our eggs in the spring. We're getting ready to get some out now, and we'll put them in the incubator and put them in the brooder and raise our own babies. And she is, like she said, you get a bunch of dang roosters when you do that. You always get more roosters than hens.
Can I ask can I ask a really dumb question?
Sure.
Okay. So I understand why you have a handful of roosters out there on the property.
Right.
When they're born, how do you know the difference between a hen and a rooster?
You can tell there's a way to do it.
Don't be gross. Don't. Okay.
No,
okay.
I don't really know how to do it, but there is a way to check them because you can buy. Generally, what we'll do is we'll hatch some of our own and then we'll cackle farms down there. We'll order some of theirs and they're guaranteed, you know, you get the chicks.
So,
guaranteed
hens. Cindy, so there's an anatomical way to tell if that little chick is a rooster or a hen. That's all I need.
Yes.
Okay.
There is a way.
Okay.
To tell them. But we just feed them, and then when they get big, you know, and they go down to the Amish and they pluck them and they vacuum seal them for us.
So you eat the roosters. Why do you send them to the Amish?
Well, just because we don't want to do it ourselves.
So you send
it's only like $3 a bird for them to do it. And we have our neighbors out here, and they get theirs together. We just take them all down at once.
By take them down there, you mean take them to go meet their maker?
To the Amish field, yeah. They're down by Sedalia.
Mm-hmm. And they remove their heads for them?
Yeah. Okay. We just take the birds down there, and then they just dress them up, and they look just like the whole chickens. They vacuum seal them and they tag them just like the ones in the store.
Okay. Cindy, thank you for the information.
But like our feed bill runs us about $1,200 a year.
Do you think you make that back up in eggs though?
No. Heck no.
$100 a month is not that bad though for 40 to 50 birds.
Yeah, well, we go up to Bremer to a feed pump store up there, and they make ours for us. We have them make up a 20% protein, and then they bag it, and it comes out to where it's like $4 cheaper a bag than what you get at Feldman's or any of the feed stores. But then it's a better protein. We go up there and buy it by the ton. We'll go up there and get a couple of tons, and then we bring it down here, and our neighbors, you know, they just pay us for whatever we pay per bag on it, and we help out everybody else around.
Well, that's nice, Cindy. You could upcharge them.
No, they're our neighbors. We're out in the country. Everybody helps everybody out here.
Anything worth doing is worth doing for money, Cindy.
Remember Don't listen that. To him, Cindy.
Remember that.
Well, yeah, well... I guess. If you have a kind heart, you can't do it.
Well, I hope you have a great afternoon, Cindy.
All right.
Be well.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So I looked into it.
All right. Well, you did the research.
I did.
Okay.
The comb, the wattle, not wattle, but wattle, and the feathers.
Feathers, okay.
So that's how you tell. Roosters have a larger, more developed, and brightly colored comb and wattle compared to a hen. The feathers are typically longer, pointed tail feathers. They're called sickle feathers, and the hackle feathers on their necks when hens have shorter, more rounded feathers. That's how you tell.
You know, I've learned more about chickens and eggs in the last week than I think I've ever known in my entire life.
You know, you can also look at their body shape. Roosters tend to have a larger, stockier build and thicker legs than the hens.
Why do more eggs turn into be roosters than hens?
Well, hang on a minute.
While you're doing that, let me go to James in Oak Grove. Hello, James.
Hey, we live out in the country south of Oak Grove, and we've successfully fed the coyotes out here for like 15 years. We buy like 25 chickens every year, and by November, with the exception of a couple of years, they're all gone because the coyotes and raccoons and other stuff that love to feast on them.
Do you not have a fence?
Yeah, we have a fence, but we free range our chickens, so we let them out in the morning, and they go and forage for food all day, and then they come back instinctively and go up into the root rafters of the building we keep them in. But there's no way to keep chickens and be profitable. It's something for my kids to do, and it teaches them responsibility. And they are actually quite fun in the summertime when you let them out and you watch them hunt grasshoppers. They say that the velociraptors come from chickens, and watching the way they hunt, I absolutely believe it.
Really?
Yeah, they'll form up a skirmish line and have like an L-shaped ambush set up, and they'll start going through the grass and pushing the grasshoppers right into the kill zone, and it's like a frenzy. It's really neat to sit back, watch a beer, and
well, that actually sounds kind of awesome.
This does sound intriguing, James. Oh, I love it.
I've seen them do that and start fighting. One of our all of our white chickens are named Lady Cluck after the Robin Hood thing. Okay. And I've seen them start fighting over a copperhead snake that one of them caught. And they, you know, run around. I mean, they're absolutely enjoyable to watch when they're hunting, but you can't make any money out of it. The best I made in the year was I was selling eggs for like $4 a dozen to the guys I work with, and one of their wives like, these don't look like chicken eggs. I'm like, well, no, because these are made on grasshoppers and snakes and stuff. That's why the yolks are so dark orange, completely different than the chicken the eggs you find.
It tastes different too.
They have a slight grasshopper taste to them, I say, tell people, but, you know, you can live with that.
So their wives didn't like them because they were healthier? Did they not know that those are better than the store-bought stuff?
Yeah, everything in a grass-fed or pasture-raised chicken is increased, and all the bad stuff is decreased by, like, 75%.
Hmm. Okay. But, you know. So, last question real quick. You said you buy every year you buy about 25 chickens, right?
Yeah.
And then by November, how many do you normally have left?
Last year, we had 5 that survived through the winter until like maybe January, February.
And then the coyotes got them again?
The coyotes, weasels, raccoons, possums, they find their way into the coop no matter what we do. The only thing that we've really done that's found to be effective is we found
a
that
bullet?
I sat out on a back patio with an AR-15, and when a coyote comes within 100 yards, we shoot it. And we find that the coyotes there, they learn a lesson. And like, yeah, we're not going to mess with this guy's ranch. And that's about the only thing that we found that's been effective. Unless you get the really cool chickens that, like, one year we had a raccoon broke into the coop, and we went out there to let him out the next morning. There was a dead raccoon in the chicken coop.
They killed the raccoon.
They killed her. Well, the only thing I can say is 20 against 1, and they get
this. You better run. That's a Shinedown song right there. It's 20 to 1. You better run.
Yeah. But, you know, that was pretty cool. But, you know, yeah, my kids raised them. I shoot the coyotes that come around them. You know, so it's a pretty enjoyable summer.
Okay, James.
I love that, though. That's awesome. That guy's living the life.
It's 20 to 1. You better run.
So I Googled it. You asked. I Googled.
Yeah.
The Googles disagree with what we have heard from two separate people. They say that they get more roosters than hens, according to the interwebs and multiple different sources, because I clicked around to see if there was anybody that agreed with them. Mm-hmm. It's about 50-50.
Hens to roosters.
Yeah, it could be perceived that you get more roosters than hens because nobody wants the roosters. So when you get 25 roosters and 25 hens,
you want a rooster,
you feel like you'd...
Because they make for good food.
That's true. And the turkey eggs, $36 a dozen if you want to buy them.
$36 a dozen?
Mm-hmm.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So during that commercial break, you may have heard an Amber Alert that aired. We have no control over when they are issued nor when they air, but we are sort of the, I don't want to say flagship station in town for Amber Alerts, but we are. We've been designated as such. It may have been a little bit confusing because the Amber Alert is out of Wisconsin and Arkansas.
Yeah, so Beaver Dam, Wisconsin is where this Amber Alert originates. I saw this story as I was perusing the news outlets earlier today. And I did too,
but I let it go because it was 9 days old.
Yeah, now they are putting the all call out. They are desperate. They are hoping to get Sophie back. Sophie is 16 years old. She is about 3 months pregnant. They believe that she is with a 40-year-old man, last name Franklin, or her he's Gary Day. Yeah. Her last name is Franklin. That 40-year-old man described as a white male, 5 foot nine or 5 foot seven, 165 pounds. I have a lot of details in front of me.
Well, he is believed to be the father of the child that she is carrying.
Yes.
And he has been charged with four felony counts, in connection with her disappearance, Sophia Franklin, including two counts of child abduction, two counts of child enticement. Gary Day, the 40-year-old, has a history of harming children and is currently on probation for endangering a child. An Amber Alert was issued on February 3rd and remains in effect. The alert was issued after Sophia's sister reported seeing a black Buick LaCrosse, later confirmed to belong to Day, parked with its engine running a block from the family home. Sophia's father called to alert the Beaver Dam Police Department of his daughter's disappearance. When officers arrived at their home, he showed them a home surveillance video that showed a male appearing to be Gary Day walking toward the family house. They say they're relying on their faith that she's going to be okay. Quoting here from the parents in a statement, "There is so much on the horizon for you, Sophia. Hard things, yes, but good things too. And your family is here for all of it. We aren't going anywhere. We just need you to come back." This is the second time that Day has driven to Wisconsin and taken Sophia from her home. The two met online in April. Day drove to Wisconsin and took Sophia to his Arkansas home on July 29th. Her parents remained in contact with her and believed that she was staying with friends in Beaver Dam. She was not. They learned that this was not the case when Arkansas law enforcement officers went to Day's home on December 10th for a probation check and found Sophia in his home. When she went back to Wisconsin, Day sent the teen several messages threatening to harm himself because they were separated. He is a weirdo.
Incredibly disturbing. Keep an eye out for a black Buick four-door sedan.
We got news with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks. We'll see you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.